Yep. Okay, so we move to item 16, Irrigated Land Regulatory Program. And this is an informational item. Mr. Harris, you'd like to introduce the topic?
Item 16 is to request board direction on Central Coast Groundwater Coalition's proposed revision to the monitoring and reporting program, order number R3-2012-0011-01 and 02 and 03, associated with conditional waiver waste discharge requirements for discharge from irrigated lands, order number R3-2012-0011, regarding changes related to groundwater sample parameters and sampling completion deadline. The first supplemental sheet to the staff report presents Water Board staff's evaluations and recommendations concerning the CCGC's recommended revisions to the MRPs. A second supplemental sheet to the staff report presents copies of three letters received from California Rural Legal Assistance, Inc., dated May 14, 2014, the Otter Project, dated May 18, 2014, and California Rural Legal Assistance, Inc., dated May 18, 2014. Staff person Hector Hernandez will summarize staff's recommendation and is also available to answer questions. Mr. Hernandez.
Okay, got it. Good afternoon, Chairman Wolf, board members. My name is Hector Hernandez, staff engineer, and I work in the Irrigated Lands Regulatory Program. And I will be giving you a brief, basically setting up this item. This item concerns proposed monitoring and reporting program changes by the Central Coast Groundwater Coalition. And as Executive Officer Ken Harris mentioned, the staff report to this item describes the proposed changes, and the supplemental sheet summarizes staff's evaluation and recommendations concerning this item. So I'm not going to go into very much detail concerning those items because those are addressed thoroughly in the reports in front of you, but I will give you a brief overview of the request and staff recommendations. Okay, the reason for this item is a request from the Central Coast Groundwater Coalition for essentially two requests. One is a 90-day extension of the deadline to complete the spring sampling of individual groundwater wells. And the second request is to eliminate sampling parameters from the primary irrigation supply wells. That's approximately 225 irrigation wells. Now, before I go on to staff recommendations, I'd like to premise this by informing the board that this morning we spoke with Perry Clausen of the Central Coast Groundwater Coalition, and he indicated that he spoke to his board about this request and that the board agrees with staff's recommendation to not allow the to not approve the eliminating of sampling parameters. Staff recommendation. The staff recommendation is to approve the coalition's request for additional time with sampling to be completed by August 30th. And as I just mentioned, the denial I'm not going to go into because the coalition agrees with our recommendation.
Hector, just for clarification, this only applies to a certain geographic area, correct?
Yes, this request only applies for the southern counties of the coalition. It was primarily San Luis Obispo County, Santa Barbara County, and the northernmost part of Ventura County, which is within our region. Now, the reason for granting additional time, we gave this request very thorough consideration. The main consideration that we had was the drinking water aspect, the human health aspect. And we determined that the drinking water notification of any exceedances would not be delayed because the fall sampling of these wells had already been completed. This request for a delayed sampling is only applicable to the spring sampling, basically the second sampling round of these wells. So any drinking water exceedances should have been identified already. The other consideration was potential fluctuations in concentrations and seasonality changes and so forth. And, you know, based on the seasons in this year, if you can call them seasons, we don't really see that being a significant issue. We don't expect any significant fluctuations in nitrate concentrations, so we don't think that would be an issue. The third reason is that this approval or this recommendation for approval of an extension is consistent with similar actions that we take with other cases in other programs.
Hector, point of clarification, it says growers there, but didn't you mean to say that it's to other regulatory programs like cleanup, USTs, and that kind of thing?
Yeah, both actually. With regards to other growers, you know, we have offered similar extensions, not officially or formally, but mostly because a lot of growers were confused about the requirements and so forth. So there's been some informal extensions to some of those with, you know, over 4,000 ranches. It's, you know, it's really difficult for everyone to know exactly what they need to do. And so we've been as flexible as we can so that they can sample their wells and get the data to us. And we believe that we've been very successful in doing that to date. This is, like I said before, consistent with how we deal with in other cases that are regulated through groundwater monitoring programs, cases like the landfill program, underground storage tank program. So it's very consistent with how we do that with other programs. And lastly, and which is also an important aspect is that, or reason, is the good compliance record. I mean, the coalition, you know, it's been very difficult to get this going and get it to a point where it is today. But thus far, I mean, I'm the one responsible for overseeing the implementation of the cooperative program in our region, and thus far, I can only say, I mean, very few instances where it's been difficult, I just can't think of any significant reason to say that they don't have good compliance records. So, with that, I'll open it up to questions. I was going to go into the reasons for denying the request for eliminating parameters, but given that the coalition staff have indicated that they agree with our recommendation, I'm not going to go there at this point.
Thank you. We have five speaker cards, and what I'd like to do is to give the opportunity for the speakers to address this topic, 3 minutes each, and then after that, board members can, you know, consolidate their questions. So I would like to start with Mr. Schimmick.
So my name is Steve Schimmick with the Otter Project in Monterey Coast Keeper. Thank you for the opportunity to comment. I'm not going to comment on the deny or the point that they have agreed to, but if that comes back up, I hope we will have the opportunity to extend our comments on that if for some reason it were to perpetuate as things have tended to do today. You have before you a request to provide data 90 days late, and then earlier you had a request to provide less data, so I characterize that as less and late. I don't consider that good compliance. The Southern Coalition was initially denied by this board. They then went to the state, and the state gave them a process where they could, the Southern Farms could kind of come in on a Northern coalition. And there was discussion over timelines. There was agreement. There was discussion over what the deadlines would be. And it was agreed, with all parties agreeing, all parties at the table, by the way, that there would have to be an enrollment deadline of November 1st. So now 6 months later, after the enrollment deadline, the coalition is claiming that they don't know how many wells they were required to test. They don't know how much it's all going to cost, and they need this extension so that their cash flow matches what they were expected to do. They've known this for 6 months. 6 months. So if I asked for a deadline 6 months late and for another 30 days, I would hope that you would deny that request. It's just inappropriate. I also disagree respectfully with staff's assertion that these nutrient levels and nitrate levels aren't changing in groundwater. They do seasonally change. I also disagree with their assertion that compliance to date has been great. I mean, first of all, there hasn't been that much that they've had to comply with so far. Most of the deadlines are out in the future. And they've been given extensions on many, many things. And we don't know what all the extensions that they've been given are. So, I want to avoid building on my statements earlier, but my point being that we don't know, the public is not aware of what this coalition approach looks like yet. We have not been informed of the changes. Now you have a change for an extension, and we hope you deny that change. They've had the information that they needed to do their budgeting since November 1st. November 1st. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schimmick. Kay Mercer.
Thank you for allowing me to come before you and talk on this matter. I was pretty disappointed to receive the supplement when it came out as a LERIS announcement. In December, I made presentation before the board. There was a question to me or my presentation was, what are they going to do with the data? We're talking about protecting the public. Why does the public need to see this information? And I do want to remind the board that information on individual growers' wells is only being provided in this region. In other regions, it's going to a coalition, and then that information is being reported in aggregate. If you read the supplemental report, you'll see the very last three pages are a listing of individual growers, their lat and their long, and a lot of other information. So the discussion is that there can't be third-party lawsuits against growers. But there are a lot of other ways that the growers can be penalized with this information that's being reported to you. The recipients of the Public Information Act request, they can file a claim asking the agency for some sort of injunction, for some sort of a cease and desist. They can file letters like they just did. They can go outside of the Clean Water Act in Port Colon, and they can sue on that. They can find an interested third-party plaintiff to sue individual growers claiming they have damages. And further, they can be demonized. And so this is these four actions, will eventually be the result of what was put into this letter to you. This is information that other growers in other parts of the state are not subjected to. Thank you. Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Claire?
Yes. Sure.
Just before we move forward, her discussion on disclosure is something that we did not put in the agenda item. I do believe it's disclosure and that sort of information is coming up in the July agenda, so I would ask the board to delay their discussion on any of those issues for that meeting when it's agendized.
Thank you. Claire?
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Claire Weinman. I'm the president of the Grower Shipper Association of Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo Counties, and I'm also a board member of the Central Coast Groundwater Coalition. I would like to express support for the recommended extension for the second round of sampling to June through August 2014. During the ag order adoption hearings, we all recognized that new questions and issues would arise during implementation. The coalition has coordinated very closely with Water Board staff to successfully implement the program. The coalition has proactively been addressing new information and questions that inevitably arise with the startup of a new program, especially one that's as comprehensive and complex as the Groundwater Monitoring Coalition. I would like to emphasize that the coalition has already sampled domestic wells, provided notification of exceedances to parties who might be using those domestic wells, and documented what well owners or operators are doing in response to any nitrate exceedances. I would also like to note that it's entirely within the authority of the executive officer to revise the MRPs as necessary, including adjusting time schedules. We appreciate your support of the recommended extension. We look forward to continuing to work closely with Water Board staff and our coalition members to better understand and improve groundwater quality and comply with the ag order. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. And Abby Taylor.
Hello, board members. I'm Abby Taylor Silva with the Grower Shipper Association of Central California, based in Salinas. So I sit as the treasurer of this organization. Yay for me. The organization, as you know, and Perry Clausen is going to speak about a lot of the work that we've done, but we were approved 10 months ago when we basically started and approved a budget and formed a board 9 months ago. And many of you I know run businesses, small and large, and you know that as you put together a budget in the beginning, you can't always estimate all of the costs or all of the timing. And when we put together the budget, we were only basing that on the north. And when the state board did make their decision, literally within a week, we were trying to encourage people to join. And I remember being in Washington, D.C. at a conference and making notes on budgetary decisions. And we had to do it like that if we wanted to get people in. And I think we made good decisions based on what we had at the time. But as the past few months have gone on, we began sampling immediately. There have been 533 wells in the South specifically that were sampled. Our costs for sampling those wells were higher than we'd expected that they would be, in part because you have teams going out. They don't always know the location. There's a lot of back and forth. It can sometimes take hours. Our costs were significantly higher than we expected that they would be. And they will probably continue to be, although perhaps go down a bit. We also have worked very hard, and I just wanted you to know that we're pleased with what we've done. We feel like we've brought you a great amount of information, and we've really helped the growers be in compliance and Perry's going to talk to you a little bit about exceedance notifications, but I think we've done a lot in a few months. We also recognize that there is a disconnect, and the work that we're doing is not apparent to others in the community who are writing letters in, and we are going to be reaching out to others, CRLA, the Otter Project, and others, and encourage them to sit down and go through this recent technical report with our hydrogeologist and with our staff so that they can really understand what we're doing, where they might see inconsistencies, why we might not see it the same way, and bring some clarity to this process so that when we come before you, perhaps we won't always agree, but there's at least more clarity. So thank you.
Thank you for your comment. And Kenya Acevedo.
Hi, good afternoon, members of the board, Chair Wolf. Thank you for allowing me to speak. Since I've written extensive comments on the issue, I'll defer my comments to a couple of highlights. First, I want to begin by reading a quote from a letter that was sent by Executive Officer Kenneth Harris to Abby Taylor Silva, actually. It's dated May 20th, 2013. And it says, if the cooperative fails to implement any part of the work plan as approved, including approved time schedules, growers become individually responsible for implementing the order's monitoring and reporting programs. And I like to highlight this quote because I think it speaks to the issue in whole. I think almost exactly a year ago, this issue was explicitly addressed. There was notice of it prior to the beginning of the implementation of the program. And as I articulated in the letter, there should have been better planning. And so I just want to highlight that that fact. Secondly, I'd like to point out that there is a default, and the default is individual monitoring, as would have taken place otherwise. And that default is quite functional. To my knowledge, it's that program has functioned smoothly. People turn in things within the deadline, and I don't think it's a serious issue to degrade back, to scale back to what was originally planned, and given the history of the southern counties. And lastly, I'd like to point out that, you know, the crux of the 90-day extension is because of financial issues, but it should be made explicit that there was a decision-making process to fund things, including isotope testing and things outside the boundaries of what was required, that actually expended a number of costs and should have been rerouted to, you know, meeting the demands of what was required. And so thank you for the opportunity to comment, and I hope that you say no to changing the provisions. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Perry Claussen, and you requested 5 minutes.
Is that okay?
Sure.
Thank you, Chairman Wolf and members of the board. So today you have before you a request to weigh in on our request for an 90-day extension to the spring groundwater well monitoring for the southern irrigation wells that we had committed to sample when we added the southern counties to our coalition. And as you heard, staff is recommending the approval of this extension, and we're not even going to talk about the turning down of the ions. We understand the rationale and think it was appropriate argument. We've been looking for ways to save costs, and our hydrogeologist said that this wasn't going to add to the characterization, so we figured we might as well ask. So it's in your right, of course, to turn that down. But I want to give you a little bit of context on why we requested this extension. As most of you know, as Abby mentioned, running a business requires making these budget projections way in advance of when the expenditures are going to take. It takes a lot of business planning. When the South program was added in September, we estimated how many acres we thought would be in and how many wells. We got those wells in when those members signed up, and it literally wasn't most of those undetermined until we went out, talked to the growers. Many times they said, I've got two wells here, not just one. And when you multiply that by hundreds of wells, we ended up with getting into 500 wells in a time frame we didn't realize would occur. So when we made these decisions about the budget, what the dues levels should be, we made those decisions in advance. And we also realized you can't go back to growers every 2 months and ask them for an increase in dues. We set a 2-year renewal period, and so we decided to stick with that. Our dues period was planned to be at the end of this year and the beginning of next year. So what this does, this extension allows us to delay some of our spending until the time that we're going to have the cash in hand. If we wouldn't get this delay, we would be stringing out the private companies that are doing the analysis and sampling for 120 days at least before that we could pay them, when we felt that that's not appropriate for these companies. They just don't have the ability to be held out for hundreds of thousands of dollars of invoices. The other thing is we started talking to staff about this in February. We had a phone call, and then we met in March with staff and talked over these details. Ken, I think, appropriately decided to bring this in front of the board for a discussion, because it is, you know, many of the things, all the things it seems like that we do are quite controversial. So I appreciate that, and I think we, you know, we recognize this has to be done in an appropriate time. And it, you know, just always remember the size and scope of what we've taken on and what we're undertaking. We've sampled 886 wells already. And this is in a short time period. I would venture there's no other program in the country that has done this in this short of time. We are doing top quality monitoring. We're following the QAP that your staff approved for us. So I think that we're taking the time and the effort and the expense to make sure this happens in an accurate way and in a way that's going to provide good data for you and for the public. So the other thing, points that I wanted to mention too, is that as you go along with the business, you do have to make decisions and you try to adjust them as you can. We came to Ken and we came to staff hoping that this justification would make sense to you all. You know, we've learned a lot in our 8 months in existence, 9 months or whatever, the months are going by so fast. We're 1 year old in July. We've learned a lot. We definitely will be making changes. With one thing that we have done that's beyond our scope was we've taken this notification process over. We've actually sent out by FedEx 118 nitrate well exceedance notifications. That's ahead of what you have in your executive report because staff just got our update. And at that time, staff had done 68 notifications. We had done 75 notifications. The other thing that I think would be reasonable, and we could do this, is we are also going to resample the 80% of MCL per the state board order. We could move those up to our June sampling to ensure that we do get those covered in case there is some changes in those levels. The other thing is, these members are getting timely verifications, and they're also responding to us about the replacement water that they are providing. And we have 100% of our members that are taking action, either bottled water or reverse osmosis. And we'll talk more about that in the next board meeting, how I think we're going to prove to you that we are doing this accurately. The other thing is staff. We work with staff closely. We understand with the individual program how much work they're going through because we're doing the parallel thing in the cooperative. And I think part of the reason they are recommending this is they understand how complicated it is to push this forward. So I guess my last ask is I urge you to approve our recommendation by your staff so we can continue going forward doing the work I think that's been outstanding as far as we have gone so to date. Thank you.
Thank you for your inputs and your concise summary. So I would like to give an opportunity to our board to comment and give some feedback, and I will start with my right, Mr. Jeffrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My comments as a businessman, as you set up a budget for your business during the year, there are unanticipated items that come up that are not in a budget, even in a governmental agency. There are always items that comes up during the budget sessions that you think about, but you don't anticipate being at that particular cost, and you have to adjust budgets as they go along. Budgets are only a guide, and so consequently, with changes in the cost, I really don't have any problems with the extension of the 90 days for a couple reasons. One is that the south part of our region didn't get into this coalition until the state board issued their order. And consequently, I don't think they anticipated the amount of wells that they were going to sample. And I think they've done a great job. And I think sometimes when you try to do a project and you do it too quickly, a lot of times you lose a lot of value, and I'd rather take the time and have the project done correctly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome. Mr. Johnston.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a couple of comments. I am somewhat disappointed this timing thing is coming before us because, as was pointed out by Mr. Shimmick, there were decisions made by the coalition to do, I believe it was Mr. Shimmick who pointed this out, to do testing above and beyond the requirements, which was certainly costly and which has affected their budget. At the same time, I'm going to support the staff recommendation for a couple of reasons. It appears to me, I haven't heard anything to convince me that we're going to get data that is not as reflective as if the testing, it's not as accurate as if the testing were done in the originally planned period, particularly given the pretty minimal difference in weather between the spring and the summer this year. It is certainly arguable, as Kendra from CRLA said, that there will be some wells that did not turn up in the red zone last time and will this time, and that there will be some delay, a 90-day delay in notification to people who are affected. I think we probably caught most of those the first time around. I am encouraged by Perry Clausen's willingness to move up the 80% of MCL retesting to the June cycle. And frankly, given how long it's taken us to get here, I'm willing to take that risk. I understand, as Kendra from CRLA said, that there's a default, which is to go back to individual grower testing. My personal view is that that's not preferable. I think it's preferable to deal with the growers and coalitions. I'm hopeful we'll get to the point that we'll be able to deal with the disadvantaged communities and coalitions too, frankly. I think it's a better way for us as a board to deal. It lets us do more with our limited resources. It lets everybody function more effectively. So I am going to support the staff recommendation. Finally, I have to say I got on Monday letters that were received on Friday by the board, comment letters on this, and I understand why they came in so late, because our full staff analysis came in pretty late too. That's just the way it is with the deadlines we have to meet. There were some questions raised in Mr. Schimmick's letter about wanting to know what the answers were to what are reviewable actions, what are discretionary actions that have already been taken, what's the advance notice provision of that. And, you know, I'm curious for the answers to those two. I'm not sure quite how we take that up today, and I don't want to clog up this discussion with that. Maybe we can circle back around to it afterwards.
This is going to be in the EO report, this particular good. Item.
Good. Okay, that's all I wanted to hear. So that's it.
Thank you. Mr. Young?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I try to look at things like this with this particular item from the 50,000-foot level. This is a request for a 90-day delay in reporting. The reasons seem very real and reasonable to me. I just don't have a problem with it at all. It's coming in advance of the need, and I think this is the way we want this program to work. We've got to have some flexibility with some of these issues, and I'll take at face value that there's going to be a cash flow differential, and this is an easy way for us to kind of help the coalition kind of continue to move itself along in a productive way and not have to expend its resources now trying to react to something that we could help them minimize. So sounds fine to me.
Thank you, Mr. Young. Dr. Hunter?
I thank my board members to the right for bringing up points they did. I totally agree with Mr. Jeffries, Mr. Johnson, and Mr. Young. As far as first year of this implementation, I anticipated and we signaled that we would be receptive to flex. I think if we were seeing this in the third or fourth year, I would have more questions, but I do not. Projecting and adding and growing in this first 8 or 9 months, as Mr. Clausen brought up, these are reasonable. I also wouldn't want to take any action to be disruptive of the momentum we see that's gaining ground, and I think that it's been a very We've heard very good reports, not to say that there aren't complications and problems and disagreements still that yet have to be resolved, but we want to do everything we can to maintain the momentum. One last comment to just reinforce what Mr. Johnson said to the rural assistants. The individual monitoring is there. It is the default. But I think what I have learned from staff and the way the programs are designed is that we actually will have more information, better information, working with the coalition and getting data in aggregate that is more easily released to the public. So I would look very hard at turning this coalition program into a series of individual monitoring, which would be very, very complicated and difficult to manage. So those are I support staff recommendations.
Thank you, Dr. Hunter. Mayor Delgado?
Yes, I have to smile when, on one hand, we're told how well-endowed the ag industry is, that they're bringing $8 billion a year to our economy, and yet they're having a cash flow problem of probably several thousand to maybe $20,000. But I think that what's going on is it's a trust issue, and the ag industry does not want to give one penny to this effort until they have a track record where they believe they can trust the process better. And then on the other hand, we're giving the same ag industry half of the $118,000 in PG settlement funds and half to a very not well-endowed environmental justice program. But I do understand that we're doing this and we're accommodating this request because we want to change the culture of trust to be one that is more trustful between the board and the ag industry without leaving out environmental justice and environmental constituents. So that is why I'm in favor of what is being proposed today. At the same time, I want to appreciate ag representatives taking the time to privately brief all of us so that we take less time at these meetings and we cover the same issues that Perry Claussen just covered, but in a more detailed fashion so we're better educated. And I hope that we have those kinds of briefings with all of our constituents because I think it helps us do our job better. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Delgado. Mr. Jordan?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wasn't the beneficiary of one of those private ag briefings, so apparently I still have some questions. And I don't really know who to address these to, so I'll just toss those out there. But one of the supplemental packages made reference to the number of wells that should have been the minimum expected, and that was a number around 250. I'm curious as to what the actual determined number of wells are that need to be tested that are causing a problem. Is it in excess of 500? Is it double the amount? Okay, I get a nod. Thank you. And then, and much of this information, I think, was requested by staff, and it's frustrating to me to see that some of this information wasn't provided back from the coalition. There was a reference to testing in excess of what the requirements were, and I'm curious as to who would have an answer, a general answer as to what a cost would be per well for the required testing versus what the cost was for the testing in excess that you were doing.
The well testing that's required right now, we just went through some new estimates, is approximately $260 per well. That's for every well because of the constituents that we requested to take off the ions. So those are still in, and we have the nitrates. So that includes about $100 for lab, and the rest is for collection and the shipping of the sample. The isotope sampling, as of now, we plan to do 5% of the wells that we have, the total number of wells that we sample, domestic wells. We've done 881 irrigation and some domestic wells. The domestic wells, let's use half. So we're going to do 225 domestic wells that we've reported so far. So we're going to do 5% of those this coming winter. We've done maybe 10 isotope samples, I think, so far, because that's only been in Salinas Valley. We haven't done any isotope, and that's the additional sampling that we're going to do. We've only done Salinas Valley.
So the staff report made it sound like all along you've been doing in excess of your requirements on all the wells you've been doing.
No. Okay. Oh, no. No, that's not correct. We were going to do 5% of those domestic wells, and we've only done some of that sampling in Salinas Valley, none in the south. Those sample costs, by the way, I want to talk to you about your lab. They're costing us about $1,200 to do that, and it's Lawrence Berkeley, I think, is the one that's doing our analysis.
Okay, and is it true that your original arrangement was a dollars per acre rather than a dollars per well arrangement?
Yes.
And what are you doing about that?
That's still going to remain the same.
Okay.
Because we committed to our members at the beginning it was going to be a per acreage cost. We felt that was most appropriate. We are considering a possible surcharge to the south, but we're also bracing for the potential ramifications. If we go down to the southern guys and say, we're going to charge you X, we may not have our southern guys anymore. So that's a big balancing act.
Like if you tell them you're going to have to charge them what it takes to comply with the order that they would decide to go out and
do it on
their own?
Well, they would go back to the individual. They would go back to the individual monitoring. And we don't feel at this point, we don't feel that's an adequate trade-off. If we can get this cash flow, and it's in the $200,000 range, not thousands of dollars, that we're trying to shift this cost a little bit later so we don't string out our vendors into, and I apologize, we didn't come and brief you on these details, but our vendors have to get paid for doing the analysis and sampling. We're running out of money here at the end of the summer with our expected reserves, so we're moving our dues collection to September, which will enable us to pay our vendors in a prompt fashion with this extension.
And how is that, explain to me again how that billing cycle is working as it's normally set up? You're only billing once, 2 years?
It's a four-year program. We bill for 2 years. So the end of 14 is the end of the second year.
Okay.
So 15 and 16, we're going to bill them in September for 15 and 16. Okay. We've already made that announcement to members.
And then the second page of our staff supplemental, which doesn't exactly quote you but references you, says that this action that we're considering, the one remaining action, the extension, would, in terms of your short-term financial resources, would improve the situation once your next collection cycle begins in September. Why would it not resolve it?
I guess that's a misstatement. No, it would resolve the issue because then the money will start coming in that we can pay what we are going to pay our vendors for what we're going to be spending in June, July, and August. Okay. So that money will be in place to pay our vendors on a 60-day rather than 120 or 180-day after the work's performed. We have, at the current dues levels, we have enough money for a four-year program. All of our work was in the first year and a half.
I guess, my as Mr. Young would say, my 50,000-foot level question would be, given everything that's before us or the answers to the question, why would this board not demand more oversight over your business plan and financial stability? I mean, why should that not be part of the give and take going on here?
Before I forget, for the record, if you give
your
name.
Perry Clausen, Executive Director of Central Coast Groundwater Coalition.
Thank you very much.
There is a whole series of requirements regarding their financial stability, et cetera, that is part of the coalition requirements. I would say up to this point, we have not felt a need to sit down and go over their books, nor do I think we're necessarily the experts that should be doing that. But we do have language, very specific language that we've applied to this coalition that we haven't yet applied to other monitoring groups. I'll leave it at that.
So my understanding, either from the pre-brief or from the staff report, I can't remember which, is that actually that information was requested as part of the consideration, but it wasn't provided.
For the ions, yes, it was.
Yeah.
The ion dropping.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to be in the minority here, but I generally think that I'd feel much worse if it was 3-3 and I was the last guy talking. But, I'm going to be in the minority. I think, obviously, there's enough people here to support the request, but in general, given discussions we've had before on the notification process and my concerns with that, on kind of this, it's a business that needs to be flexible versus it's really an extension of our requirement, and who should be bearing the consequence of miscalculations, whether it's us losing the requirement or it's the growers who are funding it. I certainly have an opinion that it's the growers who should be funding it. But I'm not going to support this action without a better give and get value. I don't think we're getting anything back for this in terms of preventing this happening in the future, in asking the right questions on how we got here up till now. I'm a little relieved that I'm in the minority, to tell you the truth, on that, because I think if I asked the question of what's the fallout if the extension wasn't given, I wouldn't like the answer. But for those reasons, I'm not going to be supportive.
Thank you.
Just change Monica's and my vote.
Well, you better order pizza.
So, did you want to add a comment? Or?
No. I couldn't resist.
Oh. Well.
I'm being facetious.
Resist. So,
can we make a motion?
Not yet, because I would like to comment. I would say, firstly, I'm very encouraged by the fact that the coalition on their own decided to remove their request to reduce the amount of sampling. I had a lot of concerns with that, and I think that's a very positive move, and because otherwise, we would have a whole different set of data between the north and the south, and I think there's a need for consistency throughout the Central Coast region to have a uniform set of analytes. So in regard to the 90 days, I think by the time you go through the whole calculation of the billing cycle, et cetera, it's probably not even 90, it's a little less than that. So we're looking at 6 weeks plus delays. I don't think in the big picture that's going to really cause a problem with the data. I like Mr. Johnston's observation that we're in an extreme drought situation this year, so the profile of information I don't think is gonna drastically change. So on that base, I personally would support giving a direction to staff to allow the time extension. So having Mr. Harris.
So I don't think you need a vote on this, because I think the direction was pretty clear.
Yep.
So I think that's really all we need.
Yep. So thank you. So